grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation on God's Word today is our Psalm of the day, Psalm 50, most particularly verse 15, last verse of the Psalm, as recorded today. It says, "And call upon me in the day of trouble." This is the Lord speaking, of course. "And call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me." Dear brothers and sisters in the faith, in our Christian faith class, our new member class, we talk about various aspects of our faith. We talk about baptism and Holy Communion and the end of all things. There's one constant theme through all of it, and that is Jesus Christ and Him crucified, because that's our faith. But we also talk about prayer. We talk about prayer, and in our section on prayer, we ask a question, and that is, why do we pray? Why do we pray? Well, there are whole books that are written about prayer. There are whole weekend retreats and seminars that believers go to on the subject of prayer. We just sang a hymn on the subject of prayer, talked all about prayer, where and when and how. Of course, you know we human beings like to talk a lot. But it's a good Lord who can sum it all up in basically one sentence or one verse from the Bible. Everything you need to know about prayer. And that's in today's Psalm. Psalm 50, verse 15. I'd like you to turn to it if you would, if you got your bulletin in front of you. Right on the front page, Psalm 50, last verse right at the bottom of the page. Psalm 50, verse 15. And say it together with me. "And call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you will glorify me." There you got it. You have the subject of prayer. Why you pray. And there's four things listed there. You didn't think there were four, but there's four. Four things. You pray because of God's command. You pray because of your need. You pray because of the Lord's promise. And you pray as a chance to praise Him. All in one verse. Call upon me. Now, you may want to slice it otherwise, but to me that sounds like a command. But it's a command for a child of God, a command for someone who's been washed clean in the blood of the Lamb, who has eternal life not in their own merits but in the merits of Jesus, who doesn't think, "Oh, I can give God something because the cattle on 1,000 hills are already the Lord's. I'm already saved. I already have eternal life." And now God says, "This is what I want you to do." There's a command. Just as much a command as one of the Ten Commandments. Call upon me. Actually, it is one of the Ten Commandments. The second commandment, which goes like what? "You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God." And if you remember your little catechism, what's the explanation to it? We should fear and love God so that we do not curse, swear, use satanic arts, lie, or deceive by God's name. That's the misuse, but there's also a use of God's name. But call upon it in every trouble. Pray, praise, and give thanks. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Yes, obviously it's a sin to misuse God's name, but it's also a sin not to use God's name, not to call upon Him, not to seek His face, not to pray. Especially when He tells you to do it. He says what? He says, "Call me. Call upon me." Why do you pray? You pray because of God's command. He commands you to. That's true. But you pray for another reason. Call upon me in what? What does that verse say? Call upon me in the day of trouble. The day of trouble. You pray because God commands you, but you also pray because of your need. Do you have any needs? The day of trouble, what is that? Do you say, oh yeah, I remember, that was about 2 years back, I think it was this week I had the day of trouble. I think it's a little more than that. It's always been the same in this world, ever since the fall of man. Every day in some place, in some life, it's the day of trouble. Martin Luther would describe it 500 years ago. I want you to think for a moment, see if times have changed in the last 500 years. See how much we've improved. You tell me. He said 500 years ago, this world drives us to anger. This world drives us to impatience. There's nothing in it but hatred and envy and enmity and violence and injustice and treachery and vengeance and cursing and reviling and slander and arrogance and pride. I'm running out of breath here. And pride, along with a fondness for luxury, honor, fame, and power. Nobody's willing to be the least. Everybody wants to sit in the chief seat and be seen by all. Take a breath. Then the devil baits and badgers us on all sides to tear us away from the word of God and faith and hope and love. Satan works to draw us into unbelief and false security and stubbornness, or on the contrary, tries to drive us into despair and blasphemy. Take a breath. And so, we cannot go about securely and heedlessly as if the devil were far away. He's an enemy who doesn't stop. He doesn't become weary. When one attack ceases, new ones always arise. And if you attempt to help yourself by your own thoughts and your own counsels, you will only make the matter worse and give the devil a better opening. Take a breath. But prayer can resist him. Prayer can drive him back. Call upon me in the day of what? Trouble. You pray why? Because of the Lord's command. You pray why? Because of your need. And you also pray because of God's promise. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, says the Lord. And I want to spend a little more time on this particular one, because if you're honest, if we're going to be honest today as Christians, I hope we're honest, you'll recognize that most of the time when you call upon the Lord, you call upon the Lord to deliver you from something. Deliver me from this particular, Lord, deliver me from this illness. Lord, deliver me and my spouse from the troubles that our marriage is having. Lord, deliver my kids. They were taught the right way. I showed them the right path. They were raised in the church, but they're going the wrong way. Deliver them from the wrong path in life. Now, those are not wrong prayers. They're good prayers. The Lord told you to pray that way. He said it right in the Lord's Prayer. But deliver us from what? Evil. Deliver us from evil. And so let's go back to our little catechism again, if you remember the words. What does this mean? We pray in this petition, in summary, that God would deliver us from every evil of body and soul, possessions and reputation. And when our last hour comes, grant us a blessed end and graciously take us from this valley of sorrow to himself in heaven. All true, all legitimate, all good prayers. And yet, while the Lord will deliver you from some things, many a time you find that he delivers you through some things. In other words, the things that you go through, particularly the difficult ones, the things that you go through are tools that the Lord uses to deliver you. They're the means that God uses to deliver you. He delivers you through those things. He takes you further down the path of faith in Jesus. He strengthens your faith. He takes you further down the path to everlasting life. And so what happens? Well, that illness becomes a planting of God. God planting inside of you, Colossians chapter 3. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. For you've died, you've already died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Did you ever think that the marriage struggles might be teaching you Ephesians chapter 4? Teaching you by the Holy Spirit, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you along with all malice. But be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Did you ever think that the kids losing their way might be for some time down the road the Lord to set up a prodigal son or prodigal daughter moment, that they might finally come to see that faith in Jesus is not just a family tradition, it's not just a cultural thing that we do, but faith in Jesus is the one hope that we have for this life, the one hope, the one thing to look to, and the one hope for the life to come. The Lord God does deliver you from some things, but often he delivers you through other things, by means of other things. And so St. Paul could write 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we don't lose heart. We don't lose heart. Even if our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Puts me in mind of some words that have stuck with me for many a long year, ever since I first read them in a theological book in seminary. And an old theologian would write this. He said, you know, the afflictions that you go through or the crosses that you have to carry, they have a good effect in the hands of God. God uses them skillfully. They have a good effect. What do? They render you humble before God. Not only that, they place your whole reliance on the grace of God. Not only that, they turn your eyes to the Word of God. Not only that, they exercise and strengthen your faith. Not only that, they move you to prayer. Not only that, they destroy the body of sin. Not only that, they turn your gaze from the things that are seen and must perish to the things that are not seen and are eternal. And so, you end up with today's second lesson, Book of Hebrews. You heard it read, Hebrews chapter 12. Now, our earthly parents disciplined us for a short time, as seemed best to them. But the Lord disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness for those who have been trained by it. Call upon me, the Lord says. In the day of trouble, the Lord says, I will deliver you, the Lord says, sometimes from some things, sometimes through some things. I will deliver you. And how does it end? And you will honor or glorify me. Why do you pray? You pray because of God's command. You pray because of your need. You pray because of his promise. And also as a chance to thank and praise the Lord. Now, which one of us here doesn't remember the story or the account of the 10 lepers who came to Jesus to be healed? You remember that one? We nod our heads, because what happened? 10 of them were healed. 9 of them, what? Went their way. And one came back thanking God. Why do you remember it? I know why I remember it, because I'm one of the nine most of the time. Most of the time. You know how it is. You do. You prayed and you prayed and you sweated and you prayed and you grieved and you sweated and you prayed. Like the Lord Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. All of a sudden God was there and he delivered you. And what'd you do? Oh, good. The mall's still open. We can get there on time. How quickly we what? Forget. We forget God's goodness. You see his deliverance and then you just move on in life. Much better is Psalm 116. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? I will offer, Lord, to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and I will call on the name of the Lord. What he's saying there is the Christian life is like a cycle. The day of trouble is not just 2 years ago this week. The day of trouble comes all the time for one person or another. But what do? You call upon the Lord. You see his deliverance from it or through it. And then what do? You praise and thank God. And then next time around, what happens? The trouble comes, and what do? You call upon the Lord. You see his deliverance from it and through it, and you give thanks to Almighty God for all of the days that you are here until the time you go to be with the Lord, when you don't need to pray anymore because you see him face to face. You don't need to grieve anymore because there's nothing to grieve over. Everything is right and good. Why do we pray? Four things. God's command, our need, God's promise, and a chance to praise him and thank him. Call upon me in the day of trouble, says the Lord. I will deliver you, and you will honor me. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, may it keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.